You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
In your Bibles, we're in we're in Acts chapter 11. We've been going through this series in the book of Acts, and we're going to jump right in. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. I've been a Christian for 45 years now. That's longer than many of you have been alive, right? And because of God working in me, hallelujah, he has and he does, he continues to, I made a lot of spiritual decisions in my life that were uncomfortable. I mean uncomfortable. And it might sound silly to you, but the spiritual decision to attend church every Sunday, that I was not on duty when I was in the Navy, and when I started coming here to this church, that was uncomfortable. But I realized, okay, the Bible says, we're not to neglect the meeting or assembling of ourselves together. So, all right, there's the Word of God. It says I ought to be in church whether I feel like it or not. Because I'm not supposed to live in my feelings, right? We looked at that last week. And then the spiritual decision to get baptized, because I didn't want to do that, because, people look at you, and you're all wet, and your hair's messed up. Some of you are right there. The spiritual decision to read my Bible consistently. As a new Christian, I heard that you were supposed to read through the Bible every year. I didn't know that wasn't in the Bible anywhere. You're supposed to read through the Bible every year. But I thought, oh, that's what Christians do. Ha! Was I surprised. But I started doing it. And I still do it. Either the whole Bible, and then like one year, every like third year, I read the New Testament a little bit deeper. Go through the New, that's what I'm doing this year. But then the spiritual decision to share my faith, which was scary. And I didn't want to do it. The spiritual decision to go into full-time ministry. The spiritual decision to tithe 10% of my income, gross, not net. Scary. Spiritual decision to pastor y'all, really scary. And just about at every point, every decision I came to, I got pushback. I got pushback, sometimes heavy pushback, on those decisions. Why is there pushback when I make a spiritual decision? Because, here's why, Satan's losing another stronghold in your life. This he's doing is losing another stronghold. 2 Corinthians 10, one of my favorite passages. For the weapons of our warfare, say that out loud. It's kind of pathetic. Warfare. Thank you. Are not of the flesh. All right, you can put politics there. All right, not saying don't vote. Vote. Vote early and often. But have divine power to destroy strongholds. Some of you got strongholds in your life, probably many of you, or you got them in your family. Strongholds. Every time I come up here to preach, I pray before that, Lord, I pray that you will use me and your word and the power of your Holy Spirit to break strongholds, because there are strongholds sitting in front of me. There are strongholds in minds. There are strongholds in addictions. There are strongholds in families. There are strongholds in marriages. There are strongholds in the children's lives, the teenagers' lives. Strongholds, satanic strongholds. Not that you're worshiping Satan, but Satan's got a stronghold. He's got a fortress in your heart and your mind and your soul. You're believing lies. Some of you, the stronghold is, oh, I'm nothing. You don't know your identity in Christ. He has a stronghold. He's holding you back. Every time you make a spiritual decision, a stronghold is being broken. It might be in your finances. It might be in your marriage, whatever it is. And so the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Well, why would Satan target me, little old me, John? Because I made and am acting on a spiritual decision in my life, because you've just become a bigger threat to him. In this area of your life, whatever area you made that decision, you have left the dark side for the light side. So he attacks me. He attacks you as we're making those decisions. He tries to keep us from making them. And then once we make them, I've decided to do this. He tries to keep us from doing what we said we're going to do. I say it all the time. In my life, in your life. But you know what's the most hurtful pushback that I've gotten has been from other Christians, other believers. who ought to understand and don't for whatever reason. And that's, you know, that's when it really hurts. So I'm preaching today on this. Here's the title. If you're taking notes, and you ought to, here's the title: Friendly Fire. Why am I under attack when I'm just trying to please God? Friendly fire. Now, I kind of understand it from Satan, you know, and his folks, but I don't understand it from God's folks. That's when it's the most hurtful. And this applies to every believer here on multiple levels, no matter what you're going through, because I'm going to tell you today how to find and defend the will of God for your life. And hopefully you want the will of God for your life at every level. Amen? Somebody say amen. All right, so we're in this amazing book of Acts, and our series we've called The Church on Fire, The Church on Fire, The Church on Fire, The Power of the Holy Spirit. You know, not just a church, not just a community, not just a building, but the church, a group of called out saints, born again believers who are on fire for Jesus. Man, that's what I pray for y'all. That's what I pray for me. And so here's the context. I'll give you the context if you're coming in here, you know, you're like, I'm not, what book of Acts? I got no idea. I'm not into this Bible thing. Cool. All right. So the book of Acts, written by Dr. Luke, who was a companion of Paul and hung around Peter and the boys, all those guys. He was a doctor. And so very precise. God used him by the power of the Holy Spirit to write this book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the church. And so we're tracking through that. Peter, who we're looking at today, Peter is one of the big names in the book of Acts. He's been doing ministry. You know, he was walking with Jesus. You know, he denied Jesus, all that stuff that you probably know about. Well, now he's got himself right. He's told the Lord, I'm sorry. Give me a second chance. Jesus said, I'm the God of the second chance. And so he's out here, he's doing ministry among the Jews and even the half Jews, the Samaritans. All right, you know, I'll minister to them. Things are amazing. God is working. And God says, now let's expand this kingdom building thing. Let's expand it. Sends Peter a vision we looked at last week that he's supposed to go to people who Peter considered unclean, unstinking clean, pagans. Those Gentiles, those people, sexually deviant idol worshiper people. It would be like, kind of, you're like, and it's hard for us to grasp, all right? Talking about Jews, what they think of Gentiles, Gentiles, what they think of Jews. The best I could come up with was maybe, you know, Pastor Johnny. Y'all love Pastor Johnny. He did a great job filling in the pulpit, you know, him and Tim and Tom and Dan. While I was gone, Pastor Johnny, though, you know, he's just a big, lovable dude and loves everybody. And then I say, you know, hey, Johnny, I want to send you to preach at a convention. Oh, praise God. I can't wait. You know, I'm going to speak at a convention. Yeah, what's the convention? It's a convention of drag queens. That, in Johnny's life, would probably be similar to what, you know, he's like, what? They're not going to listen to me. What? Those people are weird. Peter's blown away. He's blown away. He resists at first, but God is adamant. God doesn't back down. And so not only does he say, okay, he finally says, okay, but he immediately obeys. He's not like some of us. We say, okay, and never obey. And God's not okay with that. And so then when he does it, all hell breaks loose. Not really, you know, from Satan's people per se, but in that church back home. And that's where we pick it up, Acts. Now, if you don't have a Bible, we got a blue one somewhere in the seat racks in front of you. Grab that and pick it up. It's on page, what page is it? 1018 in that. And that's our gift to you. Put your name in that. Take it home. That's yours. All right, so Acts 11, we start in, we only got 18 verses. After last week, you ought to say, hallelujah, Jesus. That was a long one last week, wasn't it? All right, are you there? Say I'm there. All right, now the apostles, I circled them, and the brothers. All right, so apostles, you know who they are, you know, they're the leaders, they're called out ones. And the brothers, those are just believers who were throughout Judea. Where were they? They were throughout Judea. Okay, that's Jewry. Heard that the Gentiles, those icky people, had also received the word of God. They'd received it, they'd accepted it. So they heard that. You'd think they'd, you know, go, woo, hallelujah. And when Peter went up to Jerusalem, so he comes back to the home church, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, you went to uncircumcised men and you ate with them. But Peter began and explained it to them in order. I underlined in order. I was in the city of Joppa. I was up on the coast praying. And in a trance, I saw a vision. Something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey, reptiles and birds of the air. And then I heard a voice saying to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But I said, "By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But the voice answered a second time from heaven, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times. How many times? Three times in all, was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, you ought to underline that, three men, how many men? Three arrived at the house in which we were. Arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me, who told them? The Spirit told them to go with them, making no distinction. So that's an order from God. These six brothers, now he's pointing to these dudes that went with him, accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he, the man, told us how he had seen an angel stand in his house and say, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who's called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved." Underline that whole thing. A message by which you will be what? Saved, you and all your household. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on him, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "John," the Lord Jesus, "John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If then, Peter's making his point, if then God gave the same gift to them, those icky people, as he gave to us, clean people, when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Underline that whole thing. When they heard these things, they, the criticizers, fell silent. They're like, And then they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." Now pay attention. What Peter's given us here, and this message is going to be a little bit different, all right? There's a lot of steps in this message, because this is how, it's Peter's action steps, and my action steps. I've done this stuff. I'll tell you a story or two. They're the same steps that I need to use when I'm being attacked for any spiritual decision I've made. You're like, "Well, John, I have never been attacked for a spiritual decision I've made." Well, I'm sorry for you, because that means you haven't really made any tough spiritual decisions. Seriously. Now, if you're a new Christian, I get that. But you're going to have people, well-meaning, well-intentioned people, also some of Satan's crowd, are going to attack you because people at work, people in your family, if you are making spiritual decisions, tough spiritual decisions, and you're making them, and you're not just making them and saying, "One day I'll do it," but boom, you start doing it, you're going to get some pushback. And so here are the steps to answer these folks, all right? Same steps. So you have to track with me and write notes quickly. And it's also how to arrive at spiritual, real spiritual decisions, how to find and do the will of God. So you ready? Say, "I'm ready." All right. Big point number one. I got three of them. You're like, "Praise God." Yeah, but I got a lot of subpoints. Number one, I'll always have pushback when I make spiritual decisions and act on them. That's the important part. I'll always have pushback from some vantage point, if not all three vantage points, when I make spiritual decisions and then act on them. Okay, what's the key word there? Act on them. In verse one, go back to your Bibles. I'll have it on the screen as well. Now the apostles, all right, the head honchos, and the brothers, believers, who were throughout Judea, heard it through the grapevine, church gossip, all right, that the Gentiles also had received, and this basically Greek word is received with joy, accepted, yeah, embraced the word of God, and that blew them away. And they said, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." Not, no, what do they say? Well, Peter goes up to Jerusalem. The circumcision party criticized him. He got like a little, little group, a little clique in the church. That was a big clique. They criticized him and said, "You went to uncircumcised men, yucky, and you ate with them." Dude, you ate. You not only went there, you ate with them. You probably had pork chops, didn't you, and ribs, barbecue, Carolina sauce. Oh, the horrors. Oh, the stinking horrors. And we don't get it because we're not Jewish, right? It's hard for us to grasp this. But Jewish folks knew that they were God's chosen people, and they are. It's God's chosen people, God's chosen nation. But instead of saying that humbly, well, you know, praise God, he chose me, praise God. No. They thought they were God's better people. I'm not just God's chosen person. I'm God's better person. I'm God's cleaner person. They say, uncircumcised men. You're like, what does that mean, John? Ask your mama. But heard, there was church gossip, you know, and ate with them. This is a huge in the Greek, indignant, repulsive expression. Oh, gross, man. Gross. How could you do that? Mark it down, folks. When you make a real spiritual decision, and don't just talk about it, but start doing it, you're going to get some pushback. You're going to get some criticism. You just are. Folks, maybe church folks, sad when it happens, but it happens, are going to burn up Facebook about you. Now, church folks, they know enough to couch it in terms of, well, pray for Billy because he's, you know, blah, 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 blah. I pastored before I came back here. I was here before for 6.5 years as an associate pastor, and then came back or went up to Michigan to pastor for 5 years. And I've been back, 25 years. But I pastored that small country church in Michigan, and we started making some, not right away, but you know, a year or two in, we started making some uncomfortable to them changes to reach new people. So I went to the church, it was 60 people when I got there. You know, if you count everybody and their dog and their hamster. And so we started making changes to the building. The building was 45 years old. It had never, the same carpet that was there the day they opened the building. It was, there were clumps in the carpet, you know. And I thought, man, that's a trip hazard. I saw that the first time I walked in there. The windows were covered with this plastic weird, anybody remember Shakey's Pizza? Huh? Oh yeah, like three of you. Shakey's Pizza had these, you know, it's kind of like stained glass, but ugly 60s stained glass. The windows were covered with that. And so I just took them off. So they're like, we didn't vote on this. I'm like, no, we didn't. I had a guy help me. This is maybe not good, but he goes, what happens if they come in and they don't like it and they want to put them back up? I said, drop one. He said, what? I said, we're on ladders. Oops. He dropped it. I said, well, now they won't. Because you ain't going to get those ugly, you know, and the light came in the church. It was amazing. Let there be light. So we did that. You know, we did a remodel that cost us. We was like, oh man, oh, $40,000. We thought that was huge. And so there were changes, you know, and I tried to lead through it, and the leadership was following me, the deacons were following me, but there was one influential couple that did not like it, because we made not only changes, they kind of liked it. He helped me and changed, he was a builder, he was a missionary builder. He helped me with some of the changes inside, you know, drywall, et cetera, but man, the changes in music, he despised. And so I heard, you know, I didn't have to hear, I knew that, and they wanted to talk to me. So they said, hey, we need to talk to you about these new changes. So I'm like, all right. So I come over to their house, you know, and my associate pastor Jerry was with me. And they're like, we just don't like these new changes. And I said, you ain't telling me nothing I don't know. I understand, you know, but I said, hey, don't you see how, you know, and they were considered a spiritual couple, one of the most spiritual couples in the church, but old school, you know, and good people. They love the Lord. They just didn't like what we were doing. I said, do you see the result of the changes? We changed the music, we changed, made this thing look fresh. We switched some things around, service time-wise. Don't you see how many new young couples are coming into church now with their kids? Lives are being changed. No, folks are trusting Christ as their Savior. You guys never saw that before for years and years and years. You baptize maybe one person a year. We're baptizing folks regularly here because, you know, at least in part because of these changes, which, by the way, are biblical. And I told him because, and speaking of changes, and I called his name, you're supposed to be one of our most spiritually mature couples. I need you to make some changes. What, me make changes? What changes are you talking about? I said, change your body language for one thing. You sit there, two rows back, arms folded. They did. Arms folded against your chest, looking like you're sucking on a whole lemon. Everybody can see that, man. You are messing people up. They're like, what's the matter with him? New people are like, what's the matter with him? Has he got constipation? Either change or sit on the back row. He was like, he didn't like it, but he kept coming. And that little church grew from 60 to when I left. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying, here's what, you know, when you're driven by God, the 200 little country church, On the last day I was there, and we had scary people coming. Scary people started coming to church. People with tattoos. People who had been divorced started thinking they could come to our church, and they could, by the way. People, you know, who needed Jesus, broken people. I'll always have pushback when I make spiritual decisions and act on them. You with me? Point number two, how I respond. So now this is how I respond when my decision is attacked. Because it's going to be attacked. If you're serving God, you're going to be attacked. You're going to be attacked by your family members because you decided to, you know, do X, Y, or Z. Follow Jesus in this. Sacrifice this. Stop doing this, some of you at work. Oh, man, John, you know, they tell these jokes, man, and I just, you know, but I don't know what to do, you know, because I don't want to, you know, sound holier than thou. You are holier than thou. You shouldn't wave, you know, the banner of you, but wave the banner of Jesus. Amen? Had a guy, I could say now because he's been fired. He worked at our local dump. I'm cheap, so I don't have a trash receptacle. I live on the country, so I got a pickup. And so I just haul my own trash to the dump. Because, you know, dump's almost always open, right? You guys in town, if you miss it, you're stuck. So, taking the trash to the dump, but I'm like, oh, crap, he's there. There's old men, you know, old retired men that they kind of run the thing. And there he is, because he's an old racist, old white pasty racist. And, you know, I always try to, you know, he'll come up sometimes and talk and stuff like that. And every once in a while, he'd throw the N-word. I'm like, oh. So I had enough one day. He comes up, and he was talking to a black guy. As I'm driving up to the dump, he's talking to this black guy, and they're all, yeah, 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 yeah. Black guy drives away, and he goes, you see that? And he used the N-word. That guy, N-word. That guy, N-word. So I said, oh. I said, you keep using that word. And he got real quiet. That word, you know, you keep using it. But what if I told you that I'm married to a black lady? And his face turned white. It was a beautiful thing. And I said, ha, I'm not. But I said, I will tell you what I am. I pastor Point Harbor Community Church. And guess what we got in Point Harbor Community Church? A lot of black folks. I love those people. They love me. You're talking about my people. Well, you know, other people talk about like that, and I just picked it up. It's just, you lying sack of cheese. So now don't go and try to out him, you know, cancel him. Some of you like to do that. He already got canceled. I don't know what happened, but he ain't there anymore. So now I go to the dump happy. Because I know after I left, guess what? He told the next person, you see that cracker? How I respond to my decision when my decision is attacked. But verse number four, Peter began and explained it to them in order. I love this. I love this. He doesn't flame them. He doesn't speak with the vitriol that they're coming at him with. He comes in it humble. But first of all, bullet points under number two. How do I respond? First of all, this is super importante. No apologies. No apologies. I should never apologize for obeying God. Amen? Some of y'all do. Some of y'all are like, oh, yeah, well, you know, my church, man, you know, that's what they believe. Oh, stop. Just man up, woman up. No mea culpas. And no pride-filled responses either. Don't try to get in a shouting match over this. You're trying to hopefully win them to Jesus. You ain't going to win them by shouting. But never apologize for obeying God. I'm amazed at, you know, all these politicians, talk about politicians, sports figures recently, actors, actresses. Sometimes they come out, you know, on their little, you know, social media thing, and they say something that's actually got some common sense. Unwoke. You're like, wow, yeah, that's pretty good. I agree with that. And all of a sudden, a whole bunch of people, woo, pile on them, try to cancel them. What do 99% of them do? Oh, they apologize. They go on an apology tour. I don't know. Oh, I was, you know, I was smoking, you know, meth or whatever you do with meth. I don't know. That's not me. Well, who was it? That was you. I was agreeing with that version of you. But now I think you're just a little whatever. Why are you apologizing for telling the truth? Don't apologize for obeying God, never. Now don't get haughty about it. Don't be all prideful. Well, obviously I know Jesus better than you do, right? Just say, this is what I'm called to do. How I respond when my spiritual decision is attacked. Bullet point number two, my prayers. I point out my prayer life. Now, track with me on this. And Peter says, all right, they said, well, you were doing this, you were doing that. And he goes, hey, here's, you know, he's not apologizing. He comes into it and he says, hey, I was in the city of Joppa doing what? Praying. I was praying. And Peter's saying, this wasn't something I dreamed up. This wasn't something, God utilized my prayer life to get my attention. And I know, danger. I know this is a Christian cop-out. Because a bunch of you have done this one. Oh, you use prayer. I prayed about it, John, and God gave me peace to leave my wife and go over there and marry Bertha. God never told you to do that. Hey, you're talking to the wrong spirit in prayer. You are. And I see Christians do this all the time. Oh, it makes me just want to slap them for Jesus. One day I'm going to start that ministry I've talked about. It's called the slapping line. You just, you know, you screwed up your life, just walk up slowly and I'll just slap you. Next, slap. I had one dude, a visitor, last time I said that, he goes, I'd love to join that ministry. I said, is the slapper or the slappy? He goes, the slapper. Love this church. But this could be a Christian cop-out. You know, I prayed about it. God gave me peace. Some of you throw that out there about something. It's always something you really want to do that you just say, I prayed about. Right? And maybe you did. But if it's in opposition to the word of God, then you weren't hearing from Jesus. I rarely hear folks, you know, like Peter says, I was praying about this and I didn't want to do it. And God gave me peace. So point out if it's real, if your prayer life is real and you really prayed this thing through. I'm not talking about your piddling, now I lay me down to sleep prayers. Remember we said, what was it last week? I don't want to, this is my prayer life. I don't want to be a wimp in prayer. I want to be a warrior in prayer. I want to impact my family for years to come. I do. I want to be the patriarch of my family and stand for God and stand for truth in this troubled time. I want, when they have spiritual questions, they come to me. Well, you're a pastor. Okay, yeah, but I'm a dad first and a husband and a grandfather. I want them to come to me. You want them to come to you. So you have the power of prayer. Things in your life and things in your family go into hell in a handbasket. Oh, John, I don't know what to do. Pray. Turn off the stupid TV. Quit the binging. Get off social media and spend that time that you waste on those things in prayer. Yes. You have not because you ask not. And that ask is in the continual verb. It means you keep asking and asking and seeking and knocking and knocking. Whew, I could park here, but I gotta go. Point out your prayer life. If you really prayed about it and prayed more than just a little piddling prayer. How I respond when my decision is to obey God is questioned. My story. I share my story. What do you mean I share my story? Well, Peter, you know, they're coming up to him. They came up to Peter. They're coming up to you, asking you, what's up? What's going on, man? So tell them. Don't hold back. Tell them. That's what Peter did. He gave them the context of this decision. I was in the city of Joppa praying. And then there was this trance. Had a vision. Great sheet let down from heaven. Four corners. It came down to me. It looked something like this. And then looking at it closely, I observed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, all this gross stuff. And then guess what, guys? What? I heard a voice saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. What? God would never say that. Well, he did. It came down to me. Peter's saying, I didn't initiate it. God initiated this thing. This wasn't what I want to do. It came down to me in salvation. Hear me now. Boy, I wish I could go. I could spend a whole sermon on this or a whole series. God is the initiator in all things salvation. He's the initiator. We think we are. Well, one day I, you know, realized I needed something. I started seeking Jesus. You only started seeking Jesus because God says, no man comes to the Father unless the Father draws him. He was drawing you. He's the initiator. He thought up salvation. He bought salvation. He purchased your salvation. He seals your salvation. He has you seated in the heavenly salvation-wise. He sought you. It's all him. Well, I had to do something. No, you just had to accept something. You have to do a thing. If you do something, you go to hell because that's works. Amen? So, looking at it closely, I observed animals, all these things, and I heard a voice. He just rehearses it. By the way, this is the third time this story is repeated in the book of Acts. Remember 3:3:3:3? It's very important. It's just over and over. God's saying, this is important. Look at this. I didn't initiate this. And God says, basically, you hungry, Peter? You hungry? You know, jump in like those folks at the all-you-could-eat buffet. That's Peter's story. They are literally, these folks in church are hauling him up in front of an ecclesiastical court as the defendant. He's there. They're all around. All the elders, apostles, believers. So when you are being hauled into court by somebody at your workplace or in your family or your neighbor, be a witness. Share your story. Testify. You're the one who's best equipped to do it, because it happened to you, amen? How I respond, next bullet point, when my life changes, question my struggle. So be honest, this is powerful. I'm honest about my own struggle to obey. This wasn't something I was wanting to do. That's this, Acts 11:8. But I said, by no means, Lord. Nothing common or unclean as ever. Lord, I can't eat that. You know I can't eat that. By no means. Peter is telling these folks who are mad at him, criticizing, gossiping, spreading rumors. Hey, I get the reaction, dudes. Dudes, that was my reaction. And I pushed back at God. I tried not to obey. I did. I tried not to obey three times. I tried to disagree. I tried to negotiate. Now, this, you write this down. God doesn't negotiate his clear word and will. He does not negotiate his clear word and will. He's not going to. You push back, you either obey, or he says, all right, fine. And you might as well forget any blessings. You might as well expect some spankings. And that's where some of you find yourselves this morning. What do you mean? God says, get baptized. And by the way, if your phone is ringing, pick it up. And you say, well, Lord, how about someday? How about someday, you know? But, Lord, please bless me and my family, even though I'm currently disobeying. God says, honor me by bringing my tithes back to the house of God. And some of you go, 10%? Lord, how about 3%? I could go as high as 4. But please bless me and my finances, Lord, even though I'm currently disobeying. God says, don't have sex outside of marriage. You say, well, Lord, does that mean all the time or just on Fridays? Bless me. Some of you, you are praying. What is, I love the definition of being blessed. I love this. It's not mine, but I stole it. To be blessed is to be on the receiving end of the tangible and intangible favor of God. That's being blessed. Amen. How many want to be blessed? All right, a couple of you are like, nah, it doesn't matter to me. You know, I'm okay. I want to be blessed. I have been blessed. And so I want to be on the receiving end of the tangible, that's stuff I can touch, see, taste, smell, and intangible, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, all those things. I want to be on the receiving end of all that stuff, right? I do. Because that's the abundant life. I'm not talking about get-rich-quick crap. That, you know, I'm not talking about that. But we want to be blessed, but we want it on our terms while we're disobeying God. And the Holy Spirit is pointing out something right now across this room. He's pointing out something that you have been trying to negotiate with God, trying to argue with, trying to say, well, how about this instead of this? And God's like, no, I'm not budging. Well, why can't I? Why isn't God answering my prayers? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Peter's being called by God to do something he despised. Not just eat some tasty bacon, right? but go and eat with some who he felt were dirty, despised, accursed pagans. And Peter knew, if he obeyed God, he was going to get a ton of pushback from a ton of folks. They're going to be talking about him all over town and all over church. And that happened. And his reputation as this spiritual apostle, this pillar of the church. I mean, and Peter was the only person other than Jesus to walk on water. That's miraculous. Peter, who tried to defend Jesus by cutting off the high priest's servant's ear with a sword, that's manly. Peter, who preached that great Pentecost message, resulting in 2,000 people trusting Jesus at one time, that's super spirituality, man. And he's going to lose it all, his whole reputation, because he obeyed God. Write this down. My reputation belongs to Jesus. It's not yours. It is not yours, because you, the Bible says, are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your soul, which are God's. I'm to glorify God, no matter what that looks like. Peter gets gut-level honest about his struggle. He's saying, hey, dudes, this wasn't easy. This wasn't me. This wasn't initiated by me. How I respond when my God-driven action is rebuked. Next bullet point, I rehearse his word. I rehearse the directive of God, which led me to this decision. You better have one. This is the most authoritative of all of these. His word, his revealed word. It's not my feelings. That's why some of you are in weird, straits in your life, because you're just running on your feelings. It's not my preferences. It's not how dad and mom raised me. It's what God has clearly said. In verse 9 of Acts 11, but the voice answered a second time. So he's hearing from heaven, what God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and it was all drawn up again into heaven. He heard the word of God, bam! On the important directives of heaven, God is extremely clear. The problem is, folks, that many Christian folks, some of us, are ignorant. You call them ignorant? Yeah. You might be smarter than me, have more degrees than me, but you're ignorant of God's word. And that's why your life is screwed up, because you won't get in his word. And you want to come in here, some of you, I love you, and be spoon-fed. Nothing too, too meaty, too gristly, but just give me some tasty little milk and a little bit of bread, John, every Sunday, and that's enough for me. No, it's not. That's why your life is just in the shape it's in, many of you, because the only spiritual eating you do is now. And that's not going to sustain you. And it really isn't, is it? No. I get that with a baby. I got some grandbabies. And the youngest one, she's just, 6 months? Johnny and Aubrey's. And you have to feed her. I'm like, you hungry? She's, meh, meh. Well, I said, there's the refrigerator. No. But 10-year-old Logan, he knows where the refrigerator is. He knows where all that food is. He's learned to feed himself. Feed yourselves. Start feeding yourself. Let this, when you come in here on Sunday, be more supplemental, directional, right? Feed yourself. They push back at you because of your God-driven life change, then take them to the Word of God. And God is saying to his blood-bought people, by the way, in this, and when you get into the Word of God, God says it over and over and over to me, I'm God, you're not. I'm God, you are not God. So how I respond when my decision to obey God is despised? I told you it's a little different. You've had enough bullet points yet? I got more. Bullet point next, his sovereignty. His sovereignty. I display God's sovereign fingerprints in my decision. I tell folks, hey, this is what happened. And this is the most subjective, I get it. But Peter used it, and I've used it before. And behold, at that very moment, I mean, right then, three dudes, how many three, arrived at the house in which we were. I mean, at that very moment, sent to me from Caesarea, and the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. I mean, but bam, just right then, here's these dudes. I was praying the sheet three times, and I'm like, what? And all of a sudden, three dudes. God sent this vision. That is not a coincidence. And now, again, admittedly, this step is more subjective. Seeing this and identifying this, the fingerprints of the Spirit of God. And some folks could push back and say, well, that's just coincidence. I like the old Einstein quote attributed to Einstein, Albert Einstein. He said, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. I like that. But it didn't stop there. It didn't just stop there. Then he goes, Peter obeys. Here's the word of the Lord, specific word of the Lord. Goes to Caesarea, doesn't want to, but then there are a ton of folks just waiting on him. Wow, starts out preaching the gospel, barely gets it out, you know, before they start trusting Jesus all over the place. You can see the God set up here. Bam, bam, bam. You see that in your lives. And we don't always see that right away, as soon as Peter did. The Holy Spirit, fingerprints of the Holy Spirit. But if you do, rehearse them and say, hey, man, I didn't want to do this, but then, you know, I did, and all of a sudden God set this up. He set this, you know, thing up. I was just told by a lady today, one of our ladies, of a prayer that God had answered in just a very cool way. And I told her, I said, it's Edie, fingerprints of God. Fingerprints of God right there. That God set up. She never works on, what is it, Wednesday, or she always works on Wednesdays. They didn't have her, or Tuesday, whatever. And then she came in and they said, no, you don't have to work. And her air conditioner had been out for 10 days in this stinking heat. So they're like, oh, she's praying, God, please, please. They said, oh, it's going to be a long time. You got to be there. And, you know, she's got to work. But then she comes in and goes, yeah, you're not supposed to work tomorrow. What? I've never done that. Oh, okay. So then she doesn't work. And then they call her up and go, hey, can you be there tomorrow? Because we can do this tomorrow. Bam. She was just excited as mess. And then she went back into work, and the boss said, I don't know why we did that, because that must have been a mistake. Sorry about that. She's like, it's okay. Fingerprints of the Holy Spirit. How I respond when my decision to obey God is questioned. Others' affirmation. This is so important. I should have the affirmation of other mature believers. And all these, by the way, are tracking with how to determine the will of God, too. And I wish I had time to do God's four lights. I don't. Sorry. Just go to one of our old messages on the will of God. It's what I use in every major decision in my life, lining up the four lights. Acts 11, verse 11. Behold, that very moment I arrived at the house, these dudes sent to me. Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers, how many brothers? Six brothers also accompanied me. They were with me. I wasn't alone, them two. And we entered the man's house. I got me some affirmation. You boys are mad at me? Okay, but not just me. Six more dudes right there. And he made sure when he was called up to the church in Jerusalem from the coast, he was called up, man, you're going to have to answer for this. And he's like, you six dudes that went with me are coming with me to testify. Don't be shy. And they weren't. When I took this church, after I'd been here and then went up to Michigan, was up there 5 years, things were going awesome. In that church I've been pastoring, and we were experiencing what some folks were calling revival, and it tripled in size. And then the pastor who I worked for, Lynn, called me and said, hey, I'm resigning, and I'd like to throw your name in the hat. And I'm like, oh. And at first he thought I told him no, just because he's going through a divorce. And I was blown away by that. And so I didn't go, yeah, man, put me. I'll send my resume. I never did send a resume. But I said, wow, man, oh. And so then he thought I told him no. And he talked to Tom and Dan on the phone. They were pastoring different churches. They said, no, I think John's interested, but you need to. But I'm praying about it. I'm walking through all of these steps. I'm lining up these four lights that I talk about. And I'm wrestling because I know, you know, I'm excited. This church is where I trusted Christ as a young sailor. And I was here, you know, for several years in the Navy, and then got out and went to college, seminary, and then came back here on staff for 6.5 years. And I was excited about the opportunity, but I had, you know, now been here 5 years at Michigan, and God was doing some cool things. And I knew that if I did, they would not understand. I knew they'd be hurt. Because I love those people. They love me. And so I got input. I didn't just go, well, I'm going to pray about it. I did pray about it. I'm going to read the Bible. I read every passage about God moving people. And I actually bought a new Bible so I could just highlight all the passages when God moved, prophets, preachers, et cetera. And I drilled down on that. And I got input from other mature believers. My wife, of course, my kids. Pastor Tom, Pastor Dan, other pastors, pastors older than me. Pastors that didn't know y'all at all, but knew me. And then God confirmed it. God confirmed it through this, those series of events. And when I told the church, when I told them, it was on a Wednesday night that I was leaving to come here. And I told my staff first, I told my secretary first, her and her husband was a deacon. And I could tell how much it hurt them. Because, and one of them told me later, they said, John, it's like a divorce, man. It's like you're choosing a prettier church over us. And I said, that's not the case. You're choosing a bigger church than us. I said, we're running about the same now, same size. But I got that input. One guy told me, my tattoo buddy, I called him, he had sleeves before sleeves were cool. He says, good thing, he's tough and rough. And he spent a lot of time, you know, and I mentored him a lot. And he says, good thing I wasn't there Wednesday night when you told the church because I would have punched you. He was serious. Albert was serious. I'm like, well, I'm glad you weren't there, Albert. Is this really of God or is this something I've made up in my mind? That's what you have to ask yourself. And it really helps to have people who know you and love you enough to tell you the truth and love Jesus more than they love you. Mature believers, affirmation. It's a huge thing. Others' affirmation. And then, next one is kingdom context. Kingdom's context. Show your decisions kingdom context. In verse 13 and 14. And he told us how he'd seen the angel stay in his house and say, send a Joppa, bring Simon, you know. He'll bring you a message by which you will be saved. It's a message which we call the what? Hello? The gospel by which you will be saved. And so Peter's not holding back. Hey, you know, we're called to expand the kingdom, right? That's what this is all about. That's what God is doing. Can't you see it? My decision is expanding the kingdom, not restricting the kingdom. How is your decision doing on that? You need to ask yourself. That should be the primary filter in all of your decisions. Should I get married or stay single? What's the kingdom impact? That's what Paul says, by the way. Who should I marry? That's going to have kingdom impact. What profession should I seek? What school should I attend? Should we have kids? What church should I join? How much above the tithe should I give? If you can't show kingdom context, it probably means there isn't one. Peter has kingdom context. And then finally, how I respond? God's victory. Tell them about God's victory. Tell them about what Jesus did. Show the work of God because of your obedience. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just to, as it on us at the beginning. It was awesome. I didn't want to. I argued with God. I fought his will, but finally gave in to his word. Look what God did, man. I preached the gospel before I even got to big point number two. They start trusting Jesus all over the house. The victory of God. Some of you know this. I never wanted to do this preacher thing, this preacher gig. I never did. You know, somebody needed to do it, but not me. I wanted to do more manly stuff. Manly. Like in the Navy, I went in the Navy like my dad did. And then I was going to come out and be a farmer like my dad was. That's manly. And God said, LOLROTFL. Right? Did I get it right, kids? Roll on the floor laughing, yeah? Boy, you got no idea. You got no idea. And he invaded my life and my heart, which I fought for a while. I told him about being, you know, in the ministry. By no means, Lord. No. No. And he wore me down. He wore me down. And I wouldn't want to do anything else now on this side of it. Remember what I said last week? Your emotions follow your decisions. Your heart follows your action. Big number three, and we're done. No matter what, stand firmly with Jesus. No matter what. No matter if they say, oh, you're right. Oh, it's cooler. Man, you're a jerk. You're stupid. I hate you. No matter what, follow Jesus. I remember the word of the Lord. This is Jesus when he says, John baptized with water. You'll be baptized, immersed with the Holy Spirit. Then he's making his point. If then God gave the same gift, the Holy Spirit came down evident to them these pagan dudes as he gave us when we believed. We both believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I? Who was thinking I that I could stand in God's way? I'm not going to stand in God's way. You guys might, if you want to, cool. Now look at me. God is doing something special here at Point Harbor. I believe that. And El Sembrador, our churches, El Sembrador churches. More folks, new folks coming in. More baptisms. More church memberships. More excitement. More, but giving is way ahead of budget. Hallelujah. What are we going to do, John? We're not going to stand in God's way. We're not going to limit God. If he's pouring out the blessings, we're not going to say, that's all we can handle, Lord. What does that mean? What does that mean, John? What does that mean? We're praying. I'll tell you later. Don't have total definition yet. But it's going to be something that scares you. It's going to be something that stretches you. It's going to be something that has to be the Holy Spirit in faith. I don't want to stand in God's way. It's not my church. It's not my church. It's not your church. Look at this, and we close it out. When they heard these things, they fell silent. And then they glorified God, saying that to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. Wow, I guess it is real. I don't like it. I don't understand it. But, God's doing it. Peter basically won them over. You keep obeying God whether they're on board or not. These people in your life who are giving you pushback. So what's God doing in your life? Hopefully he's doing something. Hopefully you're making some spiritual decisions that some people are like, what in the world are you doing? Why don't you do that anymore? Why don't you laugh at my dirty jokes? Why don't you, go out and get blitzed with me? Why don't you hop in a sack with me? What's the big deal? Everybody's doing it. Now you have a chance to testify. What awesome decisions and actions is he calling you to that others may misunderstand? Are you spiritually up for it? And then, hey, Point Harbor. What's God getting ready to do here that others may misunderstand? That others may misunderstand. Are you spiritually up for it? I have something on my heart over the next 10 years, and I'm asking God to give me 10 years. Pastor Dan says, you keep saying 10 years. Like 5 years ago, you were saying 10 years. I'm praying God will give me 10 years. And I have a number in my mind. I don't know if it's from God yet. Of the amount of churches that I want us to plant through Point Harbor and El Sembrador that's blowing the staff away. And they're saying, okay, if this, then this, and then we got to have this, and we have to have this much money to do this. Well, I'm like, yeah, it got good. So I want you to join me on that. It's going to be an exciting ride, amen? And I want us to pray about that. Pastor Johnny, come on up. I want us to pray for our church on that. This is his church. It's not my church, not your church. So he's going to shake some of you up. All right? We're not changing theology, but there's some things around here that we're going to have to probably change. He's going to probably scare us. He's going to stretch us. So we need to be ready for it. Amen?